guys of Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Just resiliency, you know, just a bunch of guys that not focus on results. Obviously, we want wins, but just focus on the process and loving each other, having fun with another, you know, one another. You know, the mindset hasn't changed from week to week. Through a couple bad losses in a row, you know, a couple close wins, everybody's kind of mindset's the same. So it's been really fun to be in that locker room and just see the attitudes of guys day in and day out. And, you know, it's those things that you look too late in the season and say, hey, we've been here before. We've been through tough times, been through good times. And just, you know, you hope you can get on a roll and remember, you know, what it took to get to where you are now.
Whose birthday party is it there at the Thielen household?
Probably one
balloons in the background.
Yeah, probably one of the three Rugrats, I'm sure.
A little Rugrat birthday
yeah,
there.
Yeah, Rugrat's birthday.
It's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Judd loves kids' birthday parties.
It's great.
What are you crabby for?
Happy
it's
birthday.
My week.
No, it's great. Happy birthday.
Uncle Judd loves the little Rugrats. This is Mackie and Judd Daily Minnesota Sports Entertainment. Hopefully you guys were entertained by a bunch of crappy football. This is what happens when the Vikings don't play on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Bunch of crappy blowout football games, all right? At least the Vikings make things interesting. Whether they win or lose down the stretch, there's always a game-winning drive knocking on the door on the Red Zone channel for you.
Six noon games. You need more. Like that noon, get at least eight games, right? Six
noon games.
Especially
when the Jets are one of them, because the Jets don't even count. Yeah.
Right. Well, and the Giants, right? Like the Giants were playing against Carolina. What an atrocious football game.
Yeah, it was a bye week for the entire NFL.
It really was. It really was. But at least cram in eight games to the first window so there's an opportunity for what Phil just said, which is, my God, hey, look, this finish is really fun.
That's right. We're here to moan and complain for the entire show today. Mackie and Judd, Daily Minnesota Sports Entertainment. And every single Monday, we hit you with Viking statements and statements from the broader world. We also have a little Bears vent line off of yesterday's debacle. So let's fire it up here. All right, Judd Zolgad, start us off with a Vikings statement.
Okay, so from watching the six exciting, exhilarating noon kickoff games on Sunday, here's my first statement regarding the Minnesota Vikings. It's time to pile on the points. It's time to pile on the points. Did you guys happen to see what the Cincinnati Bengals did to the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday? They beat them 41-17. They piled on the points. It is time to come out of the bye and understand that these first four games, while extremely difficult, can be won if you pile on the points. Let Kirk throw. Let Kirk cook. Open up the offense. Get past this. We have to win these games, Phil, 9-7. Let's win them, you know, 21-10 or something like that. Pile on the points. Don't be afraid to score. Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and the Bengals gave you a tutorial on how to beat a team like Baltimore. Outscore them and just bury them.
I know. Yeah, we gave you the stat last week, too, that there were, I think, six games that the final score was a three-touchdown margin or more. And there was a bunch of blowouts yesterday. And over the last 27 games, the Vikings have only had one 20-point lead or more. And some of it's because their defense doesn't really allow you, especially last year, that type of a cushion. But Bill Belichick doesn't even have that good of a team. And he said, That's not going to stop me from sticking it to the team I hate the most, which is the New York Jets.
Yes.
And he's throwing passes late in the game. I'm with Judd here. Have that mentality. You're going to bury someone by 30 points. You're not going to do it to the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football, but like the Lions, the Panthers are trying to give you the game in the first half. Throttle. You can learn a lot from some of those bad red zone games yesterday. The Bengals over the Ravens. Good example.
And if you go into the Baltimore game there and say this, odds are Lamar Jackson is going to put up points and yards for sure, right? Like we have to accept that.
Yeah.
Now hopefully we do a good job, but let's say we don't. Is that a death knell? And if you pile on the points, the answer is it's not. So instead of this, we're going to stop. You should see what I've devised to stop Lamar so we can win a tight game. Screw that. Score more points.
Love it. All right, Declan.
All right, my first statement. My first statement is, let's get spooky. Let's get spooky. The bye week is over. The Vikings are 3-3. They return to action on Halloween night against the Dallas Cowboys. Also, the graphics for Sunday Night Football. Did you guys see those they put out yesterday for the Vikings and Cowboys game?
No.
Let me guess. They're Halloween themed.
They're very Halloween themed, and they're very spooky. They're very spooky looking because it's obvious they're playing on Halloween night. And even though the Packers have a leg up in the North, they have a game in hand and they're a couple games up. I wouldn't worry about it. I say control what you control. And even though the schedule gets tough out of the bye, it's going to get even more spookier after the Cowboys game because you're going to be on a gauntlet of a road schedule in November. But if Kirk is cooking and the Vikings can figure out ways to win some big games, you're going to see a very spooky team that's going to start popping up. So I think let's get spooky. Let's get spooky. That's my opening statement.
This is the most excited I've been for a Vikings game so far this year. I'd have to go back and sort of see how far back into last year's schedule. It might be the most excited I've been for a Vikings game in like a full calendar year. This is going to be great.
Wow.
We're going to find out more about this team.
Absolutely.
I think the Cowboys are one of like the five or six best teams in the NFL so far this year. It's national TV. It's Kirk Cousins in primetime. It's a national spotlight on a Vikings team that has clawed its way back into, like, if the playoffs started today, they'd be in the playoffs. And so I'm with Dex here. Let's get spooky. Let's get weird.
Get spooky.
Let's get whatever you want. Let's get Vikings Cowboys on national TV in 6 days, baby.
These next four completely define you. Completely.
Mm-hmm.
Like they are going to be, because you've won two games. But the key there is it's Detroit, Carolina, and Sam Darnold, by the way. Oh, my God. I'm done there, okay? Right, but I mean, they should bench him. He's awful. He's hopeless.
Dude, they benched him, and then they brought in, I think it's P.J. Walker, who was an XFL quarterback a couple years ago. And he went, when I last looked, he was like 2 for 11 for like 12 yards or something.
God. Yeah, yeah.
Watch them trade five first-round picks for Deshaun Watson tomorrow morning.
And did you see the Teddy Bridgewater clip roaming around the other day from Patrick Peterson's podcast? He had Teddy on and basically admitted when he was in Carolina that Joe Brady and that offense did not ever run two-minute drills in practice. They just didn't run two-minute drills.
This Joe Brady thing, like, he is a genius and he's on the next head coach of some team, is such garbage.
Yeah. They didn't run two-minute drills?
They did not run two-minute drills. And
what were they doing?
The clip was Teddy was also...
You should only run two-minute drills. Like,
Brian McFadden,
the only thing you run for 2 hours in practice.
And Pat P were like, what do you mean they didn't run? He's like, yeah, we had walkthroughs only on Friday. Like, and Teddy was even talking about, like, look, I didn't play that great, but I understand it's a business, so I moved on. But also, like, the way their offense is, orchestrates, basically Teddy took a shot at Carolina being like, I don't think Joe Brady's it. They're set up for
Matt
failure.
Rule is not good.
No.
I'm going to say that right now. He's a college guy. He is a college guy.
I mean, I don't, and again, we're not at practice, so it's. I guess we'll have to take his word for it. But, like, once you, if it were me, I would devote, like, 30% of all practice time to two-minute drill situations.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's games are close. End of the first half, end of the game, right? Like, games are close all the time in the NFL.
Why would you?
That's your time, man.
Why would you ever come up with a scheme against any team that says, here's what we're going to do this week. We're going to put the game on Sam's shoulders. They came out in the Vikings game and literally said, McCaffrey's not there, so Sammy, this is your ball game. Go sling it. What the hell are you thinking? Like, this guy's Ponder too. Which is
slinging
frightening.
Sammy, dude.
Anyway.
Yeah, he's, I don't know. He's got a bigger arm than Ponder had, but it doesn't really help him when he can't read a defense.
I was going to say, I think he's got a 10-cent brain.
Yeah. Might happen.
I'm seeing ghosts. No, you just suck.
Speaking of 10-cent brains, here's my first Viking statement. The Vikings should pray to the football gods that the Chicago Bears don't fire Matt Nagy until the end of the season. Because the Vikings are sitting here and they're like, oh, my God, like we... Don't they have to wait till like December to put? No, it's like late November, the first time they play the Bears, right? So we got to sit here for like a month and a half before this train wreck of a team comes into our lives. Just can the Bears get a win just to extend Matt Nagy's stay of execution here? And with that, boys, We've got one of the most glorious things. When the Vikings don't play, the only thing we can hope for is a devastating loss by someone in the NFC North. And we bring you Bears Vent Line. Dex, you go ahead.
Dave, but I do have to say, man, I mean, the Bears are not putting Justin Fields in any sort of position to succeed whatsoever. So, yeah, he did make some mistakes in this game. Yeah, he looked like a rookie throughout it, but you can't put 100% of the blame on Fields for this offensive performance, guys. That's how bad the rest of our offense was out there, okay? Receivers dropping balls, okay? Not even getting open. Offensive line playing absolutely horrible. Matt Nagy and Bill Lazor being some of the worst coaches, play callers in the NFL. I know we were a little bit high on Bill Lazor for a little bit, but guys, what does he do that differently from Matt Nagy? Okay, it's not that much different. It's the same system still, and both of them have to be gone by the end of this year.
Courtesy of DeWindy City Productions on YouTube, by the way.
Phil is right, though. Man, if you are the Vikings, you have to get down on your knees every night until you play the Bears and pray to the heavens that they don't make a change, which they ordinarily don't do in season. But my God, if yesterday's loss to the Buccaneers was not a walking advertisement, and I saw, well, they were missing some players, that didn't mean the rest of the team had to give up. So, like, that score was not a, if we had just had Akeem Hicks, we would have been fine.
My new favorite thing, Dan Orlovsky, every Monday on ESPN, on Greeny's show, Get Up, will just go on there and with film study. And, like, he's not just, you know, spewing takes. He's, like, using film study to just savage the Bears coaching staff. And there was a play in that game at one point where Justin Fields was told in his headset, because your headset doesn't turn off until the 15-second mark on the play clock, and all this came out in the post game.
Mm-hmm.
But someone was yelling in his ear with 22 seconds left on the play clock, snap it. They're trying to get a 12th guy off the field, like snap it and catch them with 12 guys on the field. So he snaps it, but the 12th guy had cleared off the field for the Buccaneers, so he thought he had a free play. So some panicked coach is in his ear like, snap it, snap it, snap it, snap it,
oh,
snap it.
No.
He's like, oh, God. So he has a free play, rolls out to the right, and just throws a ball up for grabs. It gets picked off. And they're like, well, that's okay. It was a free play. No, the 12th guy snuck off the field while your panicked coach was yelling in your ear. So let's hear from more.
Wow. Feel like I have begun many a Bears postgame episodes with that word, but here we are again, an absolute embarrassment.
We've covered some bad football games. This is by far the worst one in the Matt Nagy era, and it made me reference Mark Trestman twice in my column today. Twice.
Woof, woof. Like that music, Jeff?
That was almost porn.
It was almost porn.
It was almost porn.
It was certainly wasn't football. Porn.
Wasn't football.
No,
after
no. And it's certain, and it was not. I mean, it was just very. It was an interesting choice of music. Let's just say that,
courtesy of The Athletic. Yeah, Mark Trestman, man. Anytime you have to start comparing your current head coach to the job Mark Trestman did for 2 years, it's pretty bad. We got one more.
Got one
Bears
more.
Vent Line here on Mackie and Judd.
I honestly don't know, because being a fan of this team, like, it takes away all your hope, man. Like, you guys know I'm probably one of the more optimistic fans out there, but just watching the Bears fail over and over and over and over again, it makes me question, like, when is it actually going to turn around? When are things going to change? I just simply don't know the answer to that question, okay? I think Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace both are going to be gone at the end of the season with how bad things are looking right now. But I just hope he would finally hire the right people for the first time in forever. But looking at the McCaskey's track record, like, I don't know if that's going to happen.
You know, you've got a Super Bowl. You've got Super Bowl appearances, 35 plural.
35 years ago.
Plural. Yeah, well.
Hey, I'll take it.
Well, I was going to say, when's ours?
Yeah. If Rex Grossman can go to the bleeping Super Bowl, this team should be able to.
The Vikings had four chances to have a Lombardi trophy, at least in the case in Egan, and they don't. So don't complain to me about your team until we have a Super Bowl trophy here, okay? When's it going to end?
That's fair enough. I mean, it was 35 years ago, but then like Dex said, they did go to a Super Bowl with Rex Grossman.
They have appearances.
I feel like if you go that far with Rex Grossman, then it's like 30 more years until you can complain on that level.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. So, statement number two, round two here, Judd Zulgin.
Okay. Statement number two for me. Win in Santa Clara. The 49ers, who I thought were going to come back and be good, they were depleted by a ton of injuries last year, and I thought to myself, okay, this team is going to be tough. And I saw the Vikings' schedule, which when they come out of that four-game stretch, is a game against San Fran in California. And I said, okay, that's going to be a tough game to win, man. I mean, last time that you played there in the playoffs, they kicked your ass. This team is going to be back. They're going to be healthy. They're going to be good. Well, guess what? They're not that good. And so if you can, at the very, very least, my expectation is if you can split these four games, which I know might be disappointing to some, but the reality is if you go 2-2 and let's say that you win both the home games, which is Cowboys and Packers, okay, and then the road games are Baltimore and the Chargers, which you can win, but it's going to be difficult. If you go 2-2, you come out and play the Niners in San Fran. You should beat them. Look at this team. There's a very good chance that you are going to be going against Trey Lance. You should beat them. And
you should beat Jimmy Garoppolo too.
Well, yeah.
I would actually be more fearful of Trey Lance in some ways because he can escape.
But the point is, you can beat them, and the point of that is, if you go 2-2 in these next four, and then win that game, and in that stretch go 3-2, that's not terrible. But that game to me goes from being oh my God, that's a really difficult game. You're probably not going to win. To no matter who the quarterback is for the Niners, it's a winnable game now.
Real quick, I'm going to cut line here. Sorry, because I have a statement that goes right hand in hand with what Judd saying. I can't tell after watching 7 weeks if the Vikings schedule overall is harder or easier. Because if you go back and look at like the first six games, Cincinnati is the one seed in the AFC right now after that win yesterday. And Arizona is the one seed in the NFC. They haven't lost a game yet. But then you look at like the back end of the schedule, like Judd said, and on paper that at San Francisco game 2 or 3 months ago looked like one of your hardest games maybe on the schedule. Pittsburgh is probably more competitive than I think Judd is giving them credit for, but
they're beatable at home.
By that point at home, that's a game you're probably going to be favored in. Chicago just looks like a total dumpster fire.
Yes.
So you've got, I'm not going to guarantee wins here, but like, you're going to be favored against Chicago twice, against Detroit. You're probably going to be favored at San Francisco. Like if the lines were set right now, like you'd be favored in those four games. You'd be favored probably at home against Pittsburgh. And I haven't even gone through the rest of the games, but like those are all games that are happening after this four game stretch,
yep.
And you're going to be favored in five of them. Not to say you're going to win all five, but can you go 4-1 in those games? Because you're looking to get to 10 wins to get in, right? You already got three, so that's four, that's seven. Can you grab three more out of the other like seven games? So I don't know. I can't tell if it's easy or hard. Like the Cincinnati game, clearly, like they're beating everybody. So the Vikings don't deserve an award for like almost beating Cincinnati. Like they should have won that game and they fumbled it away on the final drive, and they should have beat Arizona. But it probably gives you a little bit more hope and puts the first six games into better context. Now that we've seen almost 2 months of the schedule so far.
And I believe the Vikings are 2-point underdogs, by the way, going in to Sunday night against the Cowboys. So they're actually underdogs at home, home dogs.
Old underdogs.
Home dogs, baby. Oh. Purple preps.
Bulletin board material.
Home dogs, baby.
Bulletin
home dogs.
Board material. You like that?
I like that for the Vikings. So do I. I think that's great for the Vikings.
Mm-hmm. My next Viking statement is maybe you don't need to win the division. Maybe you don't need to win the division. So earlier this year, it looked like, I mean, the only bid that was going to come out of the NFC North was obviously winning the division. It looked like it was going to be way too difficult for the Vikings or any team, the Bears, and obviously the Lions are out, of making a wild card team out of the North. But as it stands right now, the Vikings have a 42% chance to make the playoffs, according to Football Outsiders, and an 18% chance to win the North. So honestly, it's still going to be a very tough challenge for them to win the North, with the Packers basically having 2.5 games up on them 8 weeks into the season. But if the playoffs did start today, due to tiebreakers, the Vikings would be the last seed in the NFC playoff picture, which could also possibly set up a date at Lambeau, which would be a hell of a lot of fun on Wild Card Weekend. But I do think, looking at it and the way the Vikings are trending and where the rest of the NFL is trending, maybe the Vikings do sneak in as one of those last wild card spots if you don't win the division.
Yeah, so just to flesh this out even more, so 7 teams get in, right? There are 5 teams in the NFC right now with 1 loss or 0 losses. And so let's just, you know, anything can happen, but let's put those 5 teams on a different level. So you're fighting for one of the last 2 spots with the Saints, who are 3-2. Vikings are 3-3. The Falcons come into life a little bit. They're 3-3, but they don't really scare you. Mm-hmm. Their schedule's going to be a lot easier. The Bears are in the 9 seed spot right now, tied. They're 3-4, tied with the Panthers,
God bless this league. Oh, my God.
And then you've got 2-4 Seattle and 2-4 San Francisco, two of the bigger disappointing teams. You know, part of it for Seattle is Russell Wilson's out. But if Seattle gets beat tonight on Monday Night Football, their season's over. You know, they're just hoping to stay as close to 500 as possible for Russell Wilson to come back. But unless they roll off a win or two, they're done. So you're basically fighting with, there's 2 open spots, and you're fighting with the Saints, the Falcons, and then the 3-4 Bears and the 3-4 Panthers right now. Not to say that San Francisco couldn't come back or Seattle, but like, this is yours. Go win some games, mm-hmm. and
this is the great thing about this.
10 wins probably gets you in.
I have never been as unsure about how this is going to go as I am right now. I have absolutely no clue.
Yeah, back to you here, Joe. Unless that was maybe that was your statement.
Oh no, I've got one more. I've got one more. Where's the corner? Rick Spielman, I sat near you on Saturday at the Gopher football game. I don't know why you were scouting that game.
Did you pass him some notes?
I don't know why you were scouting that game. I don't know what. I mean, perhaps the Gophers' offensive line. I don't know. But as I sat there, the news that Weatherly had been traded to the Broncos in a weird trade, that's a 2023 seventh-round pick as well to the Broncos, and brought back a seventh-round pick in 2022, came down. But still no corner, and all I can figure is by making that trade, the Vikings opened up, I think, approximately $1 million in cap room. Mm-hmm. So perhaps that's to add a corner. And I'm not looking, it doesn't have to be a top line starter, but my God, Bashaud Breeland had about what, 3 or 4 terrible weeks, back to back decent games, but again, against not great teams. And
hey, Rick. Hey,
hold on,
Judd Pat. Passing notes.
There we go.
He was across the way. So I would have had to
you up.
I would have had to throw the piece of paper at him and hit him with it and been like, "Hey Rick, where's the corner, Ricky? Ricky, where's the corner? You got to trade for that."
Yeah, I really think we need to light another 3rd or 4th round pick on fire for a fringe starting caliber player. That'd be a great.
Do you want Chris? But here's my problem. Do you want Chris Boyd or Harrison Hand coming into games? Because right now,
What's it going to cost you to? I mean, you're talking about trading for Xavier Rhodes as if it matters.
It's going to give it to you.
It's going to cost you a late round pick to get some depth at corner. I'm not talking about. It doesn't have to be a great player.
Okay, but depth, like.
I mean,
what's the difference?
Do you really want Chris Boyd playing?
Okay, but you're saying that there's a player out there better than like Chris Boyd.
Yes,
but is there?
For a sixth round pick right now, yeah, sure there is. Chris Boyd's not hard to. Chris Boyd as a corner is not.
There's
hard
just starting
to
cornerbacks
on.
Available
no,
for
sixth
round.
No, he's not a starter.
Picks.
Listen to me. I'm talking about a backup. I'm talking about a backup.
Why do you care
Chris
about a
Boyd's
backup?
A backup. Because Bashaud Breeland gets hurt almost every game. If he can't,
but a
play,
backup's
going to
get torched. It doesn't matter who it is. Like, why light a 4th or 6th round pick on fire for a guy that's also going to get torched?
Because it's a 6th round pick. He's got like 90 of them. He's got add some depth at corner. Those Harrison Hand and Chris Boyd. You don't want them playing.
What I'm saying is, the Vikings have already, like, over the last few years, the Vikings have lit, and they've, it's amazing how many picks they've
just
lit
Chris
on fire
Herman,
in dumb
a fourth
trades.
Round pick, that was stupid.
And they still have 38 draft picks anyways, because
yes,
Rick
exactly.
is just Mr.
He
Wheeler.
He just got another seventh round pick from the Broncos.
Judd, let me paint a clear picture for you. If they trade a sixth round pick for a quote unquote depth backup cornerback, mm-hmm. and Brashad Breeland or whatever, whoever gets hurt,
Dancing.
That guy is also going to get torched, just like Chris Boyd is going to get torched. It doesn't matter. Unless there's a – if you want to talk about a needle-moving, like, legit starting quarterback, like the dude in Miami, right?
Yeah.
Like –
Xavier Howard.
Xavier Howard.
Yes.
Xavier Howard interests me.
Yes.
I'll have a conversation about Xavier Howard.
I want a veteran backup who at least looks like he can play the part. I don't want number 29 out there pivoting around.
So
being
he
like,
looks I was good in his uniform.
I was supposed to cover. No. There's guys oh, that look like they know what they're doing. And then there's a guy like Chris Boyd who can barely play special teams. And I know he's cocky and I know that they like him. But my God, add some depth at corner. Plus, it's just by this point, a numbers game. Patrick Peterson ain't coming back in three games. That's the ridiculous thing. Oh, he's 31 years old with a hamstring. He's going to be he'll be back by the Packer game. Trust me. Percy Harvin will not be traded. Trust me. Stephon Diggs is going nowhere. Trust me. That's what I should have told him. I don't trust you.
I think you underappreciate the unwarranted cocky cornerback, the guy that gets beat eight times. But on the ninth time,
and,
when the game's out of
this,
hand, hey,
and you get the finger wag and the fourth down, like I did it. The receiver can drop the bleeping football, and you get the finger wag and the fourth down. I did it. No, you get off the field.
Amazing. All right, Declan, you can either break the tie. Would you trade a sixth round pick for a guy who's going to get torched? Or no?
That's not the way to put it. Do you want Chris Boyd having to play when Patrick Peterson's probably going to miss more than a month?
I don't want Chris Boyd playing significant snaps.
Exactly.
So I'm actually with Team Sports Dad here.
Exactly.
I would do it. I would 100%.
It's a sixth round pick. The man will get 14 more of them next Saturday.
Oh my God!
I just traded a jug of milk to the Jets. I got a couple sixth round picks.
All right. Any final Viking statements from you guys?
I'm good. I just want to get spooky. Let's bring on a hobbled Dak Prescott and let's get this rolling. That's what I want.
All right. Well, then let's hear from Dan Campbell for no reason other than we just want to hear from Dan Campbell.
You think you like football? Well, Dan Campbell doesn't just like football. He f-ing loves football.
If this does not continue to sting and burn and taste like, you know what, then you got a problem. You cannot allow yourself to go numb. You can't. Because I'm not. It just, all it does is just piss me off even more. You know, and it just motivates me to want to get out of this mess. So, and I do think we have the right type of guys. And so as long as they continue to hate this taste, they'll come back to work and be ready to go. They will. And I think we got the right type of guys to do that. I do.
You like how that tastes?
Football! Football, yeah!
Football! Oh, my God.
Dude.
Oh, my God.
Dude, they pulled out all the stops in that game, at least in the first quarter. In the first, like, 5 minutes of game time, screen pass for a touchdown, onside kick recovered, and then a fake punt literally in the first 5 minutes of game time to take a 10-0 lead. Just couldn't hold up. Of course, it was Jared Goff that just throws the self-sabotage interception.
Oh, my God. That was so – if this doesn't continue to sting – and it's not an STD, Dan. It's a football loss. If it doesn't sting and burn and you don't have to go to the doctor to get meds to erase it, then you're not trying.
Maybe the Lions have a depth cornerback the Vikings can trade for.
That's fine. You know what? I hope Chris Boyd has to play, and I hope that you see him standing still as guys run past him, and then you come on the next day and say, you know what?
Why didn't they trade for a cornerback? I said
Sports
it all
Dad,
along.
You were right. They should have traded for a cornerback.
You think you like football? Well, Dan Campbell doesn't just like football. He f***ing loves football.
Our guys come back to work. They were ready to go. They believed in the plan. They executed the plan for the most part, minus a couple plays. And that's what happens. You know, you give up a shot play. We're not ready for a blitz. And now he's got all time, all day long to see it. It's too tough. You leave that door shut, please.
Football!
Football! Yeah! Yeah! Football! Football!
Yeah! Get some!
Oh my God.
Oh, dude, he's great.
Oh my God.
He was ready to murder whoever opened that door.
Yeah.
I would not. Like, I would not want to be the Lions head PR guy.
No.
Oh my God. No. All right. Mackie and Judd, daily Minnesota sports entertainment. Some non-Vikings things happened over the weekend. I'm not sure if you guys saw anything that happened that was non-football related, but let's deliver some bonus statements here. We know Declan had a travel situation he wants to get into.
Oh, yeah.
Which
we don't know a thing about, and I'm super curious.
No.
Yeah, we'll see what happened here. All right, Judd, why don't you start us off here? Bonus statements from the weekend.
Okay, bonus statements. I'm going to start with the Minnesota Wild, who split two games. They beat they again fell behind on Saturday to the Ducks. They came back, and does this sound familiar? They rallied to win in overtime. They then fell behind to the Nashville Predators on Sunday and played easily their worst game in the first five games. And here's my statement. Kirill Kaprizov needs to start shooting the damn hockey puck. He had three shots on goal in three-plus periods because the game went into OT on Saturday. All of them were in the second period. On Sunday, he had three more shots on goal, all in the third period. So he had no shots on goal in the first and second. He has right now, for the season, 13 shots on goal. Just to provide some context, fourth line winger Brandon Duhaime has 16 shots on goal. Kirill Kaprizov, I know he's pressing. I know he got the big contract. He has yet to score a goal. I understand that this all factors into his scuffles probably when it comes to overthinking what he's doing right now. But shooting for him is not difficult. Like, we've seen him get into stretches where he shoots. And guess what happens when he shoots? Because he's really good at hockey. Oh, my God, the puck goes in. The puck goes in the net. Kirill Kaprizov needs to, like, the simplest, the easiest way to simplify this, and he did get a talking to from the coaching staff before the game on Sunday, but the easiest way beyond, like, well, he should do this, he should do that, no, do this, shoot the puck. You didn't do it last year, and I think he's trying to. He's such a creative player, and he's so and I think he's trying to. I think he's guilty of trying to set up and make the perfect goal. And this is a problem in this sport for some guys. They're just so intent on let's score the goal that's going to be the perfect goal, as opposed to, boy, you know why hockey's weird and random and arbitrary? Because guys shoot pucks and they go off. Breezers, they go off skates, but unless you shoot the puck, it can't go off a breezer, a skate. It can't deflect in. So he needs to just start shooting the puck. It's the primary reason why he is being paid over the next 5 years $9 million per year.
It's kind of amazing. Like, I'm just going through last year. So Austin Matthews shot the puck 222 times last year, and tops in the NHL, and Kaprizov shot the puck 157 times. So Austin Matthews is taking on average like almost two extra shots per game. That's part of the reason why he had 41 goals in a shortened season last year. So what do you guys, because I know you guys are in lockstep on this, what do you guys have to say to the other sections of Wild media and fandom that say, why are people panicking so much? Relax. Everything will come around here for Kaprizov. Just get off of his back.
Well, number one, as we do with the quarterback, it is okay to have high expectations for superstar players. Now, Kirk Cousins might not be a superstar player in his league, but Kirill Kaprizov is a superstar player for his team. Kirk Cousins is a superstar player for his team. It's okay to have high demands for that. And second, Kirill did this last year. It's very similar to what happened. He first 17 games for Kirill Kaprizov last season. He shot the puck only 1.67 times per game. It's not a lot. It's not a lot at all. But over the last 35, he doubled his shot rate. So he doubled it to 3.37 shots per game. And Eureka, guess what happened? He also doubled.
Get those nerds! Nerds!
Coming with the facts! Coming with the facts!
Coming yes. with his goal, doubles his goal rate, right? Because if you shoot the puck more, you're going to score more. Crazy concept, right? Absolutely mind-blowing concept. Oh, how dare we ask for more from a superstar player? Yes, the Wild are 4-1, and it's great, but Kirill Kaprizov needs to shoot the puck more. And when he has shot the puck more, he scores more goals. If you took 3.37 shots per game and mapped it out over 82, that's 270-plus shots in a regular season. And also, guys like Kirill, Ovechkin, Matthews, if you shoot the puck at a high rate, the shooting percentage of it being higher than league average is completely sustainable.
Or
Bergeron? God, it's just like it's completely okay to ask for this from your superstar player. And yeah, Kirill's been, he's got 5 assists. He's a playmaker, but he needs to shoot the puck more.
Right, and that's his role. Yeah. Like that's your role, dude. You are the one, without a doubt, he is the one guy on this team who, if you polled the players and said, well, wouldn't you mind if he was sort of selfish? They'd say 97.
Kirill.
Like, they want him to shoot. And on that line, there is great definition of roles, okay? Ek will make some plays, but he is going to go to the net and get the old hockey cliche, greasy goals. Zuccarello loves to pass the puck. It's what he's going to do. He is at an age where you're not going to call Mats in and be like, Mats, I'm going to change your game. Kaprizov is the finisher. He's the gunner. He is the gunner. He is the sharpshooter. And if he is going to pass back to Mats, my idea last night on the Judd's Hockey Show that we did with Declan was then put Fiala with Kirill. Because at least if Kirill's going to pass the puck, if he's going to insist on this, Fiala will say, okay, dude, thanks. Bang, shot on goal. 6 shots on. Kevin Fiala in last night's game had as many shots as Kaprizov did for the whole weekend. That's not acceptable. That's not good.
I got one more here.
Get those nerds! Nerds!
I think you're onto something with, like, he's looking for the beautiful goal, mm-hmm. like the perfect, either sort of, you know, whatever. Like, he's just looking for, like, a clean, amazing highlight reel goal sometimes. So last year, he actually scored on basically 1 in every 5 shots he took was a goal, which is amazing. It was one of the highest shooting percentages. It was right there with Austin Matthews in terms of shooting percentage. Now, I don't think the solution is just start firing pucks at the net, like, right. You know, like a jugs machine or something. You know, I think the question is, okay, if he's going to get you an extra couple shots per game, is he just flinging pucks toward the net senselessly? Or is he taking opportunities away? Like, if you were to be more of a facilitator, is he taking opportunities away? I don't think it's zero sum, though. Like, I think he can increase his shot output without, like, taking things away from teammates necessarily.
Absolutely.
100%. That's my hockey whisperer.
I like it. Hockey whisperer is here.
Hockey nerd whisperer. I love it. The nerdy hockey whisperer.
The Kraken's number one fan, right. Macadac.
Yeah.
Don't be confused. Macadac loves his Kraken.
Use that climate pledge.
I did go down for a Kraken pregame festivities, and it's a fun vibe. Oh, yeah. It does feel a lot like when the Wild launched, there was a new excitement, but it's a little different here because they didn't have a team before. Right. I think there were some people that were kind of like, I'm kind of in on the Wild, but they're not the North Stars. That fresh new team smell.
Judd, that was Judd. Time. You're describing
that
Judd.
That was me. I was outside the X saying, don't go in. It's not the North Stars. Don't go in.
It's not the same.
Don't allow them to. No. Don't do it.
It's just not the same. All right, Declan.
All right, I'll continue to get more nerdy with the local hockey team here. My statement is the Wild can't afford to have poor goaltending. They just simply cannot. So Kaapo Kakkonen gets his first start yesterday for the Minnesota Wild after Cam Talbot played the first 4 games. And it doesn't take any hockey whisperer, any common sports fan to realize that Kaapo Kakkonen was terrible yesterday. And a box score from an eye test, 5 goals on his first 22 shots, he was brutal. Absolutely brutal. Now, Cam Talbot got the first 4 games of this season, and Talbot's had a history of being run out there a ton. I believe Edmonton started him like 70-plus games in a season 3 or 4 years ago. And Talbot through 4 games is basically who Cam Talbot is. And to get nerdy, let's go by his even strength percentage, save percentage, and his power play save percentage. And his high danger save percentage. Let's get really, really nerdy here, okay?
Feeling dangerous.
So even strength save percentage for Cam Talbot, .923 this season. He's allowed 6 goals on even strength. 6 goals. You just stopped 78 of them. That's a .923 save percentage. That's pretty dang good for 5-on-5. You can't ask for more from that. On the power play, he's only stopping 800% of the puck. So he has a save percentage of 800%, which is not great, but at the same time, you're down a man. It's more likely you're going to allow a goal on a power play situation than you are an even strength situation.
The 80%.
Yeah,
right?
The 80%. Yeah, 80%. Sorry. And then
80%, I would lock him up long term.
Yes, that'd be
or
awesome.
Or 800%, God. I'm locking him up long term.
But yeah, he has allowed, let's see here, 5 power play goals on 30 shots. Mm-hmm. So he's been probably also about league average against the power play. In high danger save percentage situations. Now, there obviously we have a ton of sample size here because it's only been 5-6 games for most NHL hockey teams. But among goaltenders that have logged 100 minutes so far this season, mm-hmm. in high danger save percentage, according to Natural Stat Trick, Cam Talbot ranks 16th in the NHL, 875 in high danger save percentage. So basically, he's a league average goaltender in high danger situations. He's a league average goaltender in 5-on-5 situations, and he's a league average goaltender in power play situations. He is who he is. So even though in the Jets game on Tuesday when the Wild had their home opener and he had a shaky game, he is who he is. His stats and his eye test, it indicates who he is. But my point is with Kaapo Kakkonen, you're going to need a backup goaltender to come in and not be an absolute train wreck. Because I know what I can get in Talbot. And I think Talbot is also the kind of goalie that you can ride and can get hot and can carry you to a Stanley Cup if he gets hot. But you can't run him out there for 70 times, and the Wild can't afford to do that. So if they realize quickly that in Kaapo Kakkonen's short amount of times getting starts, which I'm sure he'll get at least, hopefully, one on the upcoming 3-game road trip for the Wild, if they realize that Kaapo Kakkonen isn't it, I wouldn't be hesitant at all to acquire another backup goaltender, which happens all the time in this league. Because you can't afford Cam Talbot to be starting 70 times
so
a year.
Are you out on Kaapo, like, long-term?
I think so.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I'm not out yet.
You're done.
This is pretty quick to...
And here's the thing, though. Like, this happened with Darcy Kemper, and Darcy Kemper has turned himself into a good goaltender. He has. But Kaapo is a head case. Darcy is a head case. I can't have...
A lot of goalies are.
Right. But I don't think Talbot is. Talbot doesn't give me the Dubnyk vibe of he's an absolute head case.
I agree with that, but he's the exception, not the rule.
And quarterbacks and goaltenders cannot be mentally weak people. And if Kaapo Kakkonen can't handle pressure and can't handle, oh man, woe is me, I let in a shot on the first attempt of the game, then you have to find someone else to back him up.
Kaapo does have, it seems like, a disturbing trend of if things spiral quick, he's done. So it's like, okay, you gave up a bad goal. Okay, dude, move on. It's done. Kaapo seems to not get past that. So if he gets off to a really good start and is having a really good game, he's brilliant. He's great. But if he gives up a bad goal, now it's like, okay, now it's 2 goals, it's 3 goals. I'm not done yet, but I agree with Dex's point. And the most important thing here is you're going to have to make this decision coming out of the Olympic break, because look at that schedule. Cam Talbot can't play. Like it is literally bang, 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 bang. Games are going to be ridiculous, and they're going to come fast. And so if you've decided by then, Kaapo is okay, but not our guy, because... In that last stretch, you are going to have to go to a goalie rotation that is essentially a 1A, 1B, not a 1-2. So if Declan's right, you're going to have to pull the trigger at some point before you come out of that break, or else it's going to be a complete death.
Yeah.
It will be. It'll be a death march. It'll be bad.
No, I agree. Like,
Declan laughed. But
they're trying to cram all these games in. Have they pushed the playoff start date back much, a little bit? But
yes. Let me be clear. It's why I hate going to the Olympics. It's interrupting the season that you're supposed to be focused on.
Oh, I like
that. I hate this.
It's fun.
I love the 56-game season. I would honestly be in on the NHL going down to 56
but
games.
The Wild, I think, has one home game in February, and then February's done. For an international tournament, I don't care if it's the Olympics. I don't care what it is. Your league should not interrupt itself for the sake of an international tournament. I hate it.
Just because you hate the Olympics.
A lot of people...
Just because you don't get the bobsled, okay, doesn't mean...
No,
that...
a lot of people, they'll love it because it's such a great tournament and it's an all-star. And that's true, but...
It's better hockey, bigger ice.
But you should be focused on what your season is, not stopping your... season to accommodate something else drives me nuts.
Well, Federated Insurance has a straight line focus.
They accommodate
right?
you.
And they're not messing around with all these fringe activities. They just want to help protect your business from risk, protect your employees, your bottom line. They've got all kinds of tools and smart people at Federated Insurance to do just that. They've been around for over 100 years. Well, not all of the people there have been around for 100 years. Be pretty old. But multiple generations.
How can I help you here at Federated? Come on in.
I was born in 1898.
We used to ride the trolley.
Yeah. Computer. Hold on. I'll pull my notepad out.
Federatedinsurance.com. And remember, at Federated, it's our business to protect yours. All right. Here's my first non-Viking statement. The Timberwolves might be better than the play-in round games. We sit here and talk about, can they just be the 10 seed? Can they just get be between the 7 and the 10 seed, okay? Well, I've seen the first two games, and there was a little blip. They let off the gas pedal a little bit against the Pelicans in the third quarter. All right, it happens.
I've seen the first eight quarters.
All right. Defense is active. They've got 10 or 11 actual quality NBA players in rotation for the first time in God knows how long. And how about this stat so far from our friend Alan Horton, voice of the Minnesota Timberwolves and friend of the show. We should get him on sometime soon. Towns and Edwards have played 54 minutes together in two games. And the Timberwolves are plus 42
Dang.
In those 54 minutes. Now yeah. I get it.
Yeah, I'm buying
it's
that.
Not exactly the two most formidable opponents in these first couple weeks. I don't think the Pelicans and the Rockets will be playing each other in a playoff series, but this is what, like, people keep saying, it's the Pelicans and the Rockets. You guys, it's the Timberwolves, too.
Right.
Like, the Timberwolves have been yeah. what the Rockets and the Pelicans are for the majority of the last 17 years. They need to be stomping on these teams. And now when Towns fouled out, like, that game got kind of close, and then they finally put him away. But I love what we've seen so far in these first two games. I love that Pat Beverly is just, like, in guys' faces, and he adds a level of personality. And what's amazing is we've all been talking about Ben Simmons for months, right? Like, Ben Simmons, and I've been the leader of this, I think, this club. Defense, defense, defense. Where are you going to get the defense from? And Ben Simmons could maybe come in here and, like, add a whole new layer of defense. Well, their defense has been really active without Ben Simmons. Like, Jaden McDaniels has been blocking multiple shots a game the first couple games, and Josh Okogie's been active. So, I don't know. I'm just saying, all right? The over-under for this team was, like, 35.
Unless there's injuries, you're saying L.O.B.? Are you saying L.O.B.?
I'm not saying L.O.B.
Are you saying L.O.B.? Say L.O.B.
I'm not saying L.O.B. for this year. But I will keep that door open for future seasons with this cat-ant pairing. We'll call them the Cant with a K.
You can't call them the Cant.
You can't call them the Cant.
That's a terrible name.
If they're 0-2, maybe.
Don't say you can't.
They
something like that? I don't know.
So I know that the Rockets and Pelicans aren't good, but the one thing that I will say is, when's the last time that we've seen eight quarters from this team devoted to defense as much as this, which is effort? So, like, I don't care who you're playing. Like, you could play the Pelicans, Lakers, Golden State. And, yes, the last two teams are better. But if you're going to play defense, I think it's going to change the game a bit. Or a lot.
I want to caution a little in that there's no way you're going to keep up this level of defensive engagement for every game this season.
Sure.
And when you start to play Steph Curry and LeBron James, it's going to look a lot different. But I think, like, there's some bricks being laid here.
Well,
not in the way that you're used to bricks being laid by the Timberwolves.
Bricks by
that brick. I think should be really encouraging.
I love Pat Bev.
Yeah, man.
I'm going to go on the record right now. I love Pat Bev. Pat Bev is going to get in faces of teammates and opponents. He's going to push opponents. He is going to not bat back down. I think that is a sneaky, great acquisition. Because he is going to bring to me exactly what Bonino and Ian Cole brought to the Wild last year, which is, I've been there. I know how to do this.
Yeah.
Watch me. And if you don't, I might beat you up.
a couple Pat Bev anecdotes, too, from the weekend. So he went, and I can't remember if he was asked this question, but in one of his media sessions, he said, Chris Finch is my guy. He goes, and I don't have a lot of guys, and I don't go out and vouch for a lot of guys, but Chris Finch is my guy. Like, he loves Chris Finch.
Awesome.
I don't know if they had a relationship before this or if Chris Finch has just made this impression in the last couple months. And then the other thing, there was a point in like the third or fourth quarter of that game against the Pelicans where Pat Bev knocked a ball off the leg of like Brandon Ingram, and the officials called it Pelicans ball. And immediately Pat Bev's like, you know, review it. He's given the review sign, like, no. And he's you know, he's talking to everyone on his bench, like, no, no, no. And then they show the replay, and of course, he knocked the ball off Ingram's leg and it goes out of the mound. So the referees go in and they review it, and they reverse the call. And Beverly, not content to just like, yep, all right, we got the ball back, walks over like down the scores table to the official and gives the most like, he gave this look. I'm trying to explain to the audience, like obviously you guys screwed that call up. Like, he had to walk out of his way to go over there and tell the official, like, yeah,
I like
you idiot. Like,
good.
I was right. And it's just a small anecdote, but like, that saltiness of his personality is something that this team has not had. Butler brought it for like 5 minutes.
Right.
And beyond that, they've basically not had it for 15 years.
Pat Bev ain't going to get pushed around, which I love, because the Wolves for how long have basically been the team that got sand kicked in its face. Good for him.
Yep. All right, Dex.
You guys want the Chicago trip? I think it might be
done. Oh, okay.
I think it might be
Let's do a couple more. Let's do a couple more quick, and then we'll get the Chicago trip. We got all the time in the world here, by the way.
Yeah.
All the
time in the world. I'm back, but your show.
A lot of shot clock time. Yep. Four corners.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
Oh, Dan Sima's knocking the door. Oh, Ross is coming in. Oh, weird. I'm gone.
Oh, well, Roscoe did a bang up job. I'm not going to lie. Roscoe was fantastic.
Gus Frerotte, man. Player of the week. Coming in.
I don't know. He's Gus Frerotte. I think he was more like the rookie who you draft and then comes in and supplants the veteran. And then
Bailey Ober?
And then it's just, no, I don't think it was Bailey Ober either. I'm trying to think of a rookie who is.
He's the young quarterback that came in, and you weren't like, you kind of want to see more of the young quarterback going forward. Yeah. Not at the expense of the old quarterback.
Drew Bledsoe was good. Drew Bledsoe was good, but this Brady kid was a little more special.
Got it.
Yeah, Drew Bledsoe went on to play a few more years and launched a wine company.
Yep.
It was great.
It's been fantastic. All right, I got one more here. I'm going to venture out to Macadex's neck of the woods for this statement, okay? The Seattle Kraken have gone and done it. Former Wild executive Todd Lywicki, who played a big role, of course, in the Wild on opening night in 2000, retiring the number one, and then got a job with the Seahawks and retired the number 12, which, by the way, the 12th man thing is cool, but they retired the number. Has retired on opening night of the Kraken's first game against the Canucks, has retired number 32 for the Kraken in honor of the fans, because the Kraken are, A, the 32nd team in the National Hockey League, and, 2, B, drew 32,000 season ticket depositors in one day. And so
that's obscure.
And so number 32...
We had to retire the number for that?
Yes. And so number 32 now has been retired like number one, which drives me crazy. And the other thing is, I feel like when Todd was here, he was a really button-up businessman, executive type. I mean, he's a very, very smart guy. He still is. But go back and watch his talking on the ice before the game during this ceremony on Saturday. And he's become a little Vince McMahon-like. Like, he's yelling, you have done it! Hey, Seattle, we've done it! Number 30.
You're fired.
Yeah, it's a little McMahon-like, and he's like,
kiss my ass.
Go back and watch it. But anyway, so they've retired the number 32. For the love of God,
can
all these leagues please stop retiring numbers before you play a bleeping game?
Okay, the Wild one's hilarious. Like, this is pretty bad, because it's like 32... No one's going to know what that even means. Oh, yeah, we sold 32,000 season tickets. Yeah. Like,
no, depositors, Phil. It's not even sold. It's, will you buy a ticket? Yes, I will. You're one of 32,000.
Yeah. But then, like, the Wild one is ridiculous because you don't even know. Like, they retired the number one for number one fans, right? That was the deal?
Yes, because
number one fans.
Yes.
Didn't he also coin State of Hockey?
That was that group as well, yes.
Yeah, which is genius.
Yeah, that's a genius.
They're 20.
Yes.
But the number one thing is, listen, you haven't even played a game yet. We don't know if the fans are good. Wild fans have turned out to be great.
But you lost the North Stars.
Yeah, but you don't know. Like,
I know.
It's a little presumptuous.
And do we need to...
Or maybe they spoke it into existence. I don't know.
And why can't, if you have attendance that's great or something... If you want to hang a damn banner, I wouldn't personally, but let's stop retiring numbers. And by the way, this is the third time, Todd, you've done this, the third time. Maybe once it was okay. Personally, I don't agree, but, three times now?
If I had to rank all three of those based on, how much sense they make, retiring the 12th man is very clever. Because it's very easy to explain, too. What's number 12? Oh, it's the 12th player. We are the 12th player.
Right.
We matter. It's good.
Right.
Okay, number one for Wild fans. I don't know. It's hard to – number one
– Number one fans. Number one fans.
I don't know. This one is way too convoluted, so I got to rank this one third.
Anyway.
But they have nailed the marketing for this. There's more people with Kraken jerseys than Seahawks jerseys, right?
Absolutely.
All right, I have two quick rifle – I'm going to rifle off two quick ones, and then we'll give Declan space here. So – number one, Eddie Rosario was always destined to do that in the playoffs. It's just disappointing it didn't come in a Twins uniform. But for whatever reason, no one does that in a Twins uniform in the playoffs since Kirby Puckett was the last one to do that. Maybe A.J. Pierzynski in 2002 because he hit a big three.
It's been a very long time.
But, we haven't seen that. It's like, Eddie, buddy, couldn't mix that in against the Yankees? 2017?
I know.
2019? And then my last one is, I saw a lot of people having a good time last night, but I got to tell you, Rolling Stones are overrated.
I agree.
The most overrated rock band.
I completely agree.
In American music history.
Wow.
The Rolling Stones.
In music history?
Sorry.
Period.
American music history.
Across
I'm not going to speak for Egyptian music.
I couldn't.
But I will speak for American music history.
British Invasion?
I'm Team Beatles on this, by the way.
I am too, but yeah. I think the Stones...
Okay, I'm sorry. You're right. I'm sorry. I said American. I'll just say in world history, because you're right. They're a British band.
Can I parse this apart?
In world history, they're the most overrated
band. I'd like to parse this apart just a little bit.
This is going to be a whole episode.
No, it's okay.
Well, no. Mick Jagger, to his credit...
He's a great frontman.
Yeah, man. He is, and he is 78 years old. So what he's doing is incredible.
I'm talking about when he was 35.
Right
too.
Now, I think I would disagree with your assessment from the Stones' prime. They're not my favorite, but I wouldn't call them overrated. But now, what they're trying to do and milking the cow like this, yes, it is. It's a lot. I don't disagree.
Is impressive. I will not take that away.
He's older than Royce. And Patrick's
he gets up there too.
Incredible.
And he dropped all the Minnesota bars.
He dropped a Surly.
I had four Juicy Lucy's at Matt's bar at the 5-8 Club. And it's like, brother, do you think you're 78, man? Your digestive system, you can't handle half a Juicy Lucy and a beer at this point.
Keith,
stop lying to the audience.
Being alive is remarkable.
Yeah.
Are we sure Keith Richards is still alive?
You know what?
Or is it a Weekend at Bernie's situation?
No, man. No, it's incredible.
They just
mentioned Surly, so you know what? Go Mick. Go Stones. Pop that jersey.
God, dude.
All right, man.
All right, so Declan took a weekend trip to Chicago and then texted Judd and I very cryptically on Saturday and said, my trip ended early. I'll save it for Monday. And we're like, wow, okay.
Yeah, so...
Right. Did you get arrested or something?
Nope, I didn't get arrested. So I took a little bi-week vacation. There's only a few Sundays off in the calendar year for the last three months. So I like to get out of town. I was supposed to go to New York. That was the original plan about a month and a half ago. But then my best friend decides to move across the country. So then I had to scramble. And I audibled. And I went to Chicago. Because I haven't been there since I was 18. I went there the week after high school graduation. But I hadn't been back since. I have a cousin who lives there. So I hung out with her. I thought it'd be a great little time, right? So I go to Chicago. I stay in West Loop and in downtown for the first two nights. Had an absolute blast. Loved it. And then on Friday, I moved out to the Logan Square neighborhood where my cousin was just to get out of downtown. And Chicago's a huge city, man. So I figured there'd be other places to see. So on Friday, my cousin actually leaves for the rest of the weekend. So now I'm actually by myself in Chicago for the rest of the trip, which I knew going into the trip. And I was fine with because that's what I expected. And I wanted just some me time as well. So it's Friday night. I'm wandering Logan Square neighborhoods, and I end up at a bar. I had to get some drinks and some food in me.
So you're just alone.
I'm alone in Chicago.
It's awesome.
Okay.
Alone in Chicago. I had an Airbnb.
Yeah. I've done that before. Yeah. It is fun. Yeah.
I had an Airbnb that I checked into after staying in downtown. So I had an Airbnb for the rest of the weekend. That was the plan. Had a nice host. I had the whole basement awesome level to myself. It was a great Airbnb.
Oh, was there someone else, not to keep derailing this, there someone else in the Airbnb with you?
Yeah. There was one person above me. So there was like a wife and her husband above me.
I always think that's a little weird.
It is weird.
It's just like a family upstairs.
Yeah, I didn't like. I didn't like that.
Oh,
part.
Sorry. I've got some digestive issues in one of your bathrooms.
Yes. My God.
It's clogged.
Hey, my God.
It's your toilet.
So it's Friday night. I'm at the bar. I'm alone for the rest of the trip. Just trying to figure out what. I'm on my phone watching the Bulls game. I was trying to find the baseball playoff game. Couldn't find it. It's obviously Chicago Bulls territory. So I'm watching this Bulls game at this crowded arcade bar. And I look at, I just decide, hey, I'm going to pull up my Delta app just to make sure. What is my flight again on Sunday? You know, I was a little spacey at the time. I was having a good time. And I look at the flight, and my statement is double, triple, and quadruple check your itinerary. Because on my flight home for Sunday, my plane was not leaving out of Chicago. It was leaving out of Minneapolis.
Oh.
So now... Now, in my mindset.
So wait, did you? Okay, sorry. Keep talking.
I'm now having a panic attack. I'm now having like a legitimate panic attack, and the lifestyle choices I was choosing was really not helping. Being alone in Chicago and feeling really good and realizing, oh my God, my flight is leaving out of Minneapolis on Sunday night, not leaving out of Chicago as originally planned. And your question is probably, did you book 2 one-way tickets? Yes, I did book 2 one-way tickets.
No.
And
you booked 2 one-way tickets from Minneapolis to Chicago?
Yeah.
How?
I told my
why
statement.
Why didn't you book a round trip?
Okay, so yeah. This is where this entire mess.
That was my, yeah.
Entire mess comes full circle. And by the way, Curb Your Enthusiasm is back, and it was very much a full circle moment. I was supposed to go to New York. That was the original plan 6 weeks ago. I was supposed to go to New York! I didn't know! And round trip tickets to go to New York were insanely expensive. Like, I couldn't find it, and I was looking for months and months and months. And I figured, well, what happens if you just do one-way ticket options? Like, what is that cheaper? So, It depends, right? So, I did 2 one-way tickets. And by the way, I went back and looked, and I correctly did a one-way ticket from Minneapolis to New York on a Wednesday and New York to Minneapolis on the Sunday of this trip. But because I had to rearrange the flight, I canceled the Sunday return home flight ticket and I rearranged the Wednesday ticket. I rebooked it through Delta. But then when I had to go make a new flight to come home before I took the Chicago trip, I did not clearly look at where this plane was leaving. And I booked 2 one-way tickets. So then I scrambled. I'm at this bar, and I'm freaking out inside. So I walk back to the Airbnb, because I wasn't going to handle this on my phone in a crowded bar in Chicago.
Oh, my God.
And I look at all the returns. So I can switch the plane. I can switch the airports and do the whole return flight. But, like, literally the only feasible, cheap option was to come home Saturday morning. Because every other option, either to come home Saturday night or Sunday originally the plan, was like $500 to $700 more I would have had to pay out of pocket. And in this one, I only had to pay $130 to change.
That's not bad.
So I kind of looked at it like, all right, yeah, I'm going to have to cut my trip short. And I did get my Airbnb for Saturday night refunded. So that kind of honestly offset.
Oh, wow. You got a full refund that last minute?
I texted her and I was like, hey, I had something come. I didn't say what, because if I told her I screwed up 2 one-way tickets, I would have not gotten this refund. I said I had a family emergency.
I had something come up. That's a good call.
But that's, yeah. There was no way I could have gotten my wrong.
And
here.
I have COVID.
And I have
and
COVID.
Cancer.
Yeah. You have to come fumigate your basement level of your home.
I've got my treatments here at the hospital in Chicago. I can go home now. Oh my God.
And as I texted you guys too, audience doesn't know this. When I flew out on Wednesday, they were looking for vouchers and people to change flights. So I actually got like an awesome travel voucher to take a later flight out when I left Wednesday. So all things considered, double, triple, and quadruple check your itinerary. But financially, I actually still, I think, came out of this trip a little bit positive with the vouchers.
My statement to you would be just book round trip flights.
I know, man.
Especially
I've never done this before.
No, you shouldn't
and it,
do that.
And it bit me hard.
Yeah, dude, you are. Don't ever try a veteran traveler move when you're not a veteran traveler.
I
don't do that.
You're right.
Okay, I've got a friend who's got a full time gig, but like his side gig is travel hacks, and he's got a website. And it's like how to game the point systems and one of the things he taught me, and I've only done this like twice, but there's ways you can get cheaper flights if you check connections. Like, let's say you want to go to New York, but like the flights to New York are expensive or something. You could go. Oh, well, what if I fly to Boston but find a connection in New York and just don't get on the connection? I just go to New York instead. There's things like that where you can kind of gain the.
Yeah,
you've done that before.
Yeah, I could save
like hundreds of dollars.
I've booked round trip flights with no intention of coming back on the plane.
Okay,
like we
that's got to be really expensive though, right?
No. This one was actually cheaper to go round trip than to go one way.
Interesting.
It just depends on prices.
But how are you getting back then? Are you just like
I drove back with Dawn. So it was to Cedar Rapids, and I had to go to something, a family thing, and the round trip ticket was cheaper than a one way ticket, but I was going to drive back with her.
Okay.
So, but I mean, it's just arbitrary. But what Declan did is a savvy veteran move that should be reserved for veterans. See, Pat Bev would have told you not to do that. Like Pat Bev would have been Declan.
Don't get tricky.
Don't be doing that, man. You got to play defense here. No, I thought you were going to say you got booted from your
Airbnb. No, I know you guys. That would have been a better story.
Like you clogged it up, and they're like, get the hell out of here. Threw your clothes out.
Oh, my God. So, yeah.
Getting a plunger.
Came back about 36 hours earlier.
Got your note. I was like, I hope he's okay.
Yeah, no, I was fine. I was back in my own apartment.
So you actually did fine financially. You just screwed
financially,
up.
Yeah, actually. I still had like come out positive on this trip, which
there
is hilarious.
There is nothing worse, though, than when something goes awry on a trip and you're sort of drunk and then
and
like
alone.
You realize it.
And alone. Being and alone. No, and alone.
I don't care
and
about
no
being
one
alone.
To help you. Like, I have dead parents, like, so I'm prepared to be independent, but this was a, oh my God, what did I just do?
Well, yeah, because you feel stupid too.
Yeah, you feel really dumb.
As someone who in my life has battled depression and some anxiety, what helps in those moments is what is really the worst thing that can happen?
Right. Yeah,
like,
that's a good point.
All right. What is I'm not going to die.
Yeah.
There's plenty of hotels. Like, right. I'm not going to go bankrupt if I have to spend a couple extra bucks on a hotel tonight. All right. There's flights from Minneapolis to Chicago and vice versa that go off like taxi cabs, for God's sake.
If you gotta
drive back, rent a car or something, that's
it's more the worst that can happen. It's more the initial moment of panic, though.
Yeah, dude.
When you look at like the travel itinerary and you're like, what the F?
What did I just do?
Because then Phil is exactly right. Like, you calm yourself down, but there's always that initial God. Like adrenaline rush or something?
Yeah, what did I do?
And your stomach like drops and you're like, I got to go to the bathroom now.
Yeah.
I got to go to the bathroom.
There it is. All right, travel tips from Declan Goff.
Okay,
right
Declan.
There.
Well, next time, just go round trip.
It was just like, it's so embarrassing. Like, I had to text my siblings being like, I'm coming home tomorrow. Oh, like, what's happening? Are you okay? Is your heart exploding again? Because that's also what happened when I've taken a trip. I was like, nope, health-wise, I'm fine. Your brother is just an idiot. Yeah, that's all that happened. So
I'm sure there were some folks in your family that weren't surprised. Brother.
All right.
Brother Liam said, oh, yeah, I can believe it.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. We got it.
That's a wrap. Mackie and Judd.
Thanks, Dex.
Be sure to check out Purple Daily as well. And thanks to everyone who has downloaded the Score North app, central hub for everything we do here. On Mackie and Judd, Purple Daily, Royce Unchained, the Scuba Doogie, Judd's written work. We'll see you guys tomorrow on Mackie and Judd.
Spring? Is that you? Warmer temps mean new Allbirds styles. Meet the Super Light Collection, the lightest ever shoes from Allbirds, now in fresh colors. They've designed must-have travel styles for when you need to jet. The lighter-than-air feel and barely-there fit makes these shoes some of the most packable styles ever. That means more comfort and less baggage. Take the Super Light Tree Runner on your next adventure. Its cushy, lightweight foam midsole supports every step, and the extra outsole traction gives you the grip to just go for it. The eucalyptus fiber upper adds next-level breathability to keep you going all day. Plus, the super light tree runner is comfortable and ready to go right out of the box. So, what can you do in a super light shoe? What can't you do is the better question. And because they're super packable, the real question is, where are you taking them? Experience how Allbirds redefines comfort. Visit Allbirds.com and use code SUPER24 for a free pair of socks with a purchase of $48 or more. That's Allbirds.com, code SUPER24.
American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more, right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.